Let me ask you something. What if you're the villain? Of course, not in your own memory of things, and not in the version you replay when you explain decisions to yourself, but in someone else's story, in a moment you barely think about anymore. I mean, what if you're the turning point that they remember? And what they remember of you is not in a good way. What if somewhere someone tells you a story about you that sounds nothing like the person you believe yourself to be? This is Echoes from the Peak. Now, it probably wouldn't be dramatic. I mean, it rarely is. It might have been a meeting where you moved quickly because you had to. Maybe a conversation where you enforced a boundary. It could have been a decision where you chose efficiency over emotion. Who knows, maybe you were under pressure, tired, or maybe believed you were being fair. You remember the context. You remember the constraints and the reasoning. Most of all, you remember the feeling. But they remember that feeling too. They remember how small they felt when you cut them off. They remember the way that your tone landed, even if you didn't mean it that way. They remember the silence after you finish speaking, the kind that settles heavier than anyone intended. Hey, in your mind, it was a necessary moment. But in theirs, it was the moment something shifted. Something hardened. Something closed. And you moved on. But they did not. And the unsettling part is that you may never know which moments those were. We all carry a private narrative where we are the reasonable one. The one who did what needed to be done. The one who weighed the options very carefully and chose the best path available at the time. And most of the time, that's true. But the truth about impact is that it doesn't require malice. It doesn't even require carelessness. It only requires proximity and power. Think about a parent enforcing discipline. And this parent may remember protecting their child. But the child may remember fear. A leader making a hard call may remember responsibility. the employee, they may remember humiliation. And a friend withdrawing during conflict may remember self-preservation. But the other friend, they remember abandonment. You see, both stories can feel completely justified from the inside. And that's what makes this uncomfortable. Because the villain in someone's story doesn't mean that you're evil, nor did you intend to be evil. It means from their vantage point, you represented the obstacle, the injury, the moment that they had to adapt in a way that they did not want to. Hey, you may have been right. You may have been calm. You may have even been kind by your own standards. But impact does not bend itself to intention. So imagine for a moment that you could feel it. And I don't mean as a punishment, not that way. And not as shame. Just awareness. I mean, imagine that every time someone tells a story where you were the difficult one, you sense a faint shift in the air, a quiet echo of that memory existing somewhere else in the world. And you begin to realize that you live simultaneously in thousands of versions of yourself. One for each person who has experienced you. In some, you are the mentor. In others, the catalyst. In others, the person who taught them to speak up. And in a few, well, perhaps more than a few, you are the reason they stopped. Look, you never intended that to be the reason. But unfortunately, intention does not erase memory. You can't rewrite that version of you that lives in their recollection. You don't even have access to it. All you have is the present version of yourself and the one capable of expanding. And then, something shifts when you accept that. I think this is where maturity quietly separates from defensiveness. Because the instinct, when confronted with the idea that you might be someone's villain, is to gather evidence. I need an explanation. I have to defend. Look, you don't have to understand what was happening. You don't have to know the pressure I was under. That's not how I meant it. And maybe all of that's true. But growth does not begin with proving your innocence. It begins with holding the possibility that your impact exceeded your awareness. If you have led, if you have chosen, if you have enforced boundaries, if you have prioritized one thing over another, you have left shadows somewhere. And look, that's not an accusation. It's structural reality. Power, even subtle power, always casts something behind it. And the question isn't whether you have been someone's villain. The question is what you do with understanding that you might have been. I mean, what do you do? Do you shrink, harden, or do you retreat from the responsibility altogether? Or do you expand your sensitivity to the unseen impact of your decisions? There's a steadiness that comes from accepting complexity, from knowing that you can be principled and still painful to someone, that you can still be justified and still be someone's turning point. It doesn't require self-condemnation. It requires awareness. That's today's echo. It fades here, but it's yours now. If you're the villain in someone's story, would you want to know? And if you did know, would it change how you move the next time you hold power? The next time you make a decision? Or speak in a moment that matters more than you realize? I'm Frank Mills, and this has been Echoes from the Peak.